Do you have anything that's a very valuable, precious? I trust that you do. Probably all of us have some possession. Willa Mae says her heart's precious here. She's had some heart problems. When that old heart starts giving you problems, it becomes very precious, doesn't it? Start missing a beat, or that blood pressure doesn't function right. Robin's sister-in-law, after she had surgery, her blood pressure dropped, and we found out yesterday that they were rejoicing that it was all the way up to 60 over 40. And we rejoice when that heart is working right. Such things are very precious to us. I think there's something even more precious than our hearts. Something much more precious and much more valuable to us that we need to recognize. You know, when it comes to things that are valuable, they're usually valuable because they're very rare. Or maybe they're very useful. The hearts would fall in that category, I guess. Or maybe it just carries a tremendous amount of intrinsic worth to us. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'd like to use as a basis for our text this morning and tonight. And it speaks about something that is very precious for us. Peter writes, 1 Peter 2, begin reading in verse number 4, coming to him as to living stones, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore it is also contained in scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. This passage speaks about the preciousness of Jesus Christ. He's precious because of all of these reasons. I'd like for us to notice some of the things pertaining to his preciousness tonight. You know, it's his name that we are to exalt. And we must recognize the preciousness of Jesus Christ if we have any hope of salvation. First, I'd like for us to notice some things that have to do with the fact that he's very precious to us in life. Can you imagine what life would be like if Jesus Christ had not come to this earth? If he had not died upon that cross? Or if he had not resurrected from the dead? Jesus Christ is precious to us as the sacrifice for our sins. When John the Baptist, you remember, saw him, John 1 and verse number 29, he said of him, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." It is by his sacrifice that our sins are forgiven. And there's not any other sacrifice. There's not any other means. There's not salvation in any other, Acts 4 and verse 12 said. There's not any other way that we can have the hope of our sins being forgiven. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 26, the thought pointed out there is that if we reject Jesus Christ and go back to sin willfully, then there is no more sacrifice for sin. There's only one sacrifice when he gave his son to die for each and every one of us. And there's no, if we do not accept Jesus Christ, we have no other sacrifice for sin. Talk about something rare. Talk about something of tremendous value, of intrinsic worth and useful to us. But then also, Jesus is precious to us in this life as a foundation for life. He gives to life the element of assurance. In our text here, he is spoken of as the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone. Life is built upon him. And when life is built upon him, there is assurance. There's hope that nothing else can give to us. You remember Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, the very last verses of that chapter, that whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rains came and the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was found that it was built upon the rock, a firm foundation. But he says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. The rains come and the winds blow and the floods rise and beat upon that house and it falls. And he says its fall is great. He is the foundation of life, the support for those that believe in him. And he is the means of our having assurance in this life. Then in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, before he ascended back to the Father, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. That's assurance. And when we build our lives upon him and upon his teachings, then we know we have built upon that rock, that solid foundation that rules heaven and earth, that has all authority in heaven and earth. He's precious in that sense. Also, he's precious in the sense as the sustaining element of life while we're here upon this earth. In John 6 and verse number 48, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He is that which can give spiritual life to us. He's the source of life. John 14 and 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Without Jesus Christ, there would not be life. There would not be any hope of spiritual life. We could not have unity with the Father without Jesus Christ. There was no other way without Jesus Christ. He is truly precious. In this life, he's also precious as a guiding influence, as the guide for how to live life. He said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Oh, many people in our world today are walking in darkness. They do not have light. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where they're going to end up. They don't know how to live life because they're walking in the darkness. They do not. They have not come to Jesus for the guidance of him and to his word. And then he is precious to us because of where he is right now. Seated at the right hand of God, where he ever lives to make intercession for us, Hebrews 7 and verse 25. That's where he is and working in our behalf. How can we talk to God except through him? If there was no means of our being heard by the Heavenly Father, if we could not go to him in prayer, but praise God we can, because he gave Jesus Christ. And he has endured all of the things that we've endured. Hebrews 4 verses 14 and 15 says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, he says, under the throne of grace, that we might find grace to help in our time of need. We can go to his throne. We can pour out our prayers and our requests to him. But if there was not any Jesus Christ, we could not speak to God. We'd still be in our sins. The wrath of God would still abide upon us. And our prayers would not rise above this ceiling, because God would not hear the prayers of sinful people. How precious Jesus is to each and every one of us. But I'm convinced that Jesus is not only precious to us here in this life, but that he is precious to us when this life comes to an end at the hour of death. When we face death, how important Jesus Christ is to us. He's important because of His supporting promises that He's made to each and every one of us. I'm told that Sir Walter Scott said whenever he was dying, he asked his servant and said to his servant, "Bring me the book." And the servant quizzed him, saying, "What book?" And he said to him, "When a man is dying, there is only one book." You ever think about that? When it comes to a crisis of most any kind, when it comes to the time of death, we always turn to Jesus Christ and to His Word and His and the Bible, do we not? But it seems many times in the times of good times when everything's going all right and there's not any problems or difficulties, we forget about God and His Word. Jesus Christ is precious to us and will be precious to us at the time of death. Psalms 23 and verse number 4, the psalmist wrote, "Though I pass through the valley of death, yet will I fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort." How wonderful to be able to turn to Jesus Christ in the hour of death. I know that perhaps many of you, like I have, been around at the death of a precious loved one. Maybe a parent, maybe a mate, maybe a child. In my cases, I remember the death of my daughter. I don't know how we could have endured that without Jesus Christ, without knowing that He ruled over death and Hades, the grave, Satan, without knowing of His great promise that He would be with us at that time and that He was victorious over death and had come forth from the grave. And through Him, we too can reign victorious over death. Then I think He's precious to us because of His comforting presence then at the time of death. I guess the love of our life is an instinct that's within each and every one of us. We want to hold on to life as long as we possibly can. But we can meet death without any fear if we're in Jesus Christ. If we're faithful to Him and living for Him, then we can meet death and be prepared for it. And knowing that we enter into Him, and as the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1 and verse 23, that he had a desire to depart and to be with Christ. He said, which is far better. He was talking being far better than remaining here upon this earth. How do you look upon death? I think we need to study God's promises of death and the hereafter. And look forward to faith in faith at those promises. Faith and trust that He's going to take care of us in death as He has in life and throughout all eternity. That's His promise. How precious that promise is. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Jesus said, "Do not fear man, which can only kill the body, but fear God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell." We should not fear death. Jesus Christ reigns over death. Romans 14, verses 8 and 9 says, "For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord both of the dead and of the living." We do not escape Him in death, but for the Christian, we go to be comforted in His presence. Oh, how precious He is. But then let's look beyond this life, beyond death. And I think there's some other areas there where we can see that he's precious. What about at the time of the judgment? Can you imagine what it's going to be like to stand before God on that day, in that day of judgment, when he comes and sits up on the throne of his glory and all nations are gathered before him and he separates us like a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats? You stand there before him to be judged. Surely the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be precious to us at that time, because nothing else can get us past the judgment of God. Nothing else can give us a favorable verdict on that day rather than Jesus Christ. He will be precious to his people at that time because of his mantle of righteousness that will be about us. The spotless robe that we can wear is Jesus Christ. And our only hope is that we're in him on that day, and that we can stand spotless before him because we've been washed in his blood. Romans 5 and verse number 18 says that by the righteousness of one, referring to Jesus Christ and his righteousness, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Because he died for us, we can stand behind him and his righteousness on that day and know that we're right in the sight of God. But if we're not in him, we'll have no hope on that day. But he's going to be precious on that day also because of the reward that are to be given out to those who have a favorable judgment on that day. To the believer, many shall be the rewards. He's promised that we'll be able to sit upon his throne as he overcame and sit on his Father's throne. He's promised us to be a pillar in the temple of his God, to live in that city where there is no night, where we can eat of the tree of life and drink of the water of life, that stream that proceeds from the throne of God, and where there will be nothing but joy, and that joy will never be mixed with any sorrow or crying or pain, for the promise is that the former things have been passed away. We can look forward to the reward on that day where he will say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Or where he will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." How precious Jesus should be to each and every one of us. Is he precious to you? And then lastly, I'd like to mention that he'll be precious to us throughout all eternity. He has promised that he's gone to prepare a place for us. He says, "Where I am, there you might be also." To be in his presence throughout all eternity. I can't think of anything more precious. More precious than any existence, any happiness, any joy that we might have upon this earth will be to be in his presence, to enjoy the beauty and the wonderfulness of that celestial city, to be in his presence, the presence of the one who died for our sins, the presence of the one who lived and endured all the same temptations and difficulties that we did and yet was without sin. The one who has all authority in heaven and earth, to be in his presence, to be at home with the Lord, to live in that mansion that he has promised. What can be more precious? These are all things that we can look to in faith and trust. And they need to become real to us as we look at them by the eye of faith. So John says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be the children of God." The world does not know us, he says, because it didn't know him. We now, he says, are the children of God. We do not know what we shall be. It has not been revealed, but we know that when he appears, we shall see him as he is, we shall be like him. What a great hope that we have because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 22 and verse number 5 says, and we will reign forever and ever. How precious is Jesus Christ? How precious is He to you? Oh, yes, they can take our lives here upon this earth. That heart may stop beating because there's something much more precious to each and every one of us. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. How we need to hold on to Him. How we need to seek to know Him. How we need to seek to become familiar with every word that's given here in His new covenant, so that we might fill our minds with His thoughts and His thinking to be like Him in all ways. There is nothing more precious than Jesus Christ. But He's only precious to those who believe. In the text here, He's pictured as being a stone of stumbling and offense to those that do not believe. He can be precious to all men if we'll all believe and trust and have faith in Him. Acts 4, verse 11 and 12, Peter said, "This is the stone which was set at naught by you, the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other." We cannot afford to reject Jesus Christ. We cannot afford to reject one thing that He has said. We cannot afford to be ignorant of any word in the covenant that He's given, because He is more precious than anything, and more precious than life itself, all things here upon this earth. How precious is He to you tonight? Are you living faithfully in His service? Do you seek to know His word and to be obedient to it in all ways? Is that the most precious thing in all of the world to you? It should be. And if He's not the most precious thing to you, won't you repent tonight? Won't you begin from this moment forward to recognize and to make Him the center of your life, to recognize His value and the preciousness that He is, and how that there is no hope without Him? We're going to extend the invitation. If as a Christian you've not recognized that preciousness, and maybe you have even sinned against Him and rebelled against Him, failed to do His will, won't you repent of it? If you're out of Christ this night, we plead with you and we exhort, will you not give your life to Him and recognize that He is of more value to you than anything else? Won't you do that this night? Respond to the invitation while we stand now, while we sing.
Why do you tarry so long? There's no furious lauding to bless you. A place in His sanctified throne. Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? What do you hope, dear brother? Though you fail further day by, there's no one to save you but Jesus. There's no other way but His way. Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why do you wait, dear brother? The harvest is passing away. Your Savior is longing to bless you. There's danger and death and delay. Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now?
Please turn number 761.
are the promises, kind is the word. Here far than any mercy's man ever heard. Here was the mind of Christ, and look, I see. He's a great example in the past and for me.
Bow and pray together. Our God and Heavenly Father, we come now at the end of this service hoping that everything we've said and done here would be pleasing in thy sight, Father. We're thankful for Brother Legg and for the message that he's brought here tonight. We'd hope that everybody would have listened and maybe help us all to be better Christians. Father, we're thankful for the elders and the deacons and the teachers of this congregation. We'd ask that you would continue to bless them with their talents to be able to teach thy word, Father. Father, we hope as we go the rest of this week that we would carry an attitude of spreading our love, spreading the word, telling others about Jesus and the precious things that we have because of him, Father. Father, we are mindful of those of a congregation that are sick. We ask that you would strengthen and comfort them. Father, we ask that you would be with Brother George this week as you give him the surgery, that you would be with the doctors that would minister to him. Father, we ask that you go with us now as we go to our homes. We ask that you would forgive us of our sins. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
The church is to make known the manifold wisdom of God, Ephesians 3 and verse 10. The church is the pillar and support of the truth, 1 Timothy 3 verse 15. We are told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are to be the light of the world. And we must let our light shine so that men might see our good works and glorify God in heaven. We are to be the lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, Philippians 2 and verse 15. This is our role.